Baruch Hashem, I'm happy that we're able to start learning here again. And many things have happened since we last saw each other. And we have a lot to do and to work on for the year. First, I have, of course, Hakar Satov to Chaverim that helped get things ready. And I'm not going to mention their names because they prefer that I don't. But I have tremendous appreciation. I have also tremendous hakar satov to the Young Israel for making the shul available. And I don't take any of these things for granted, nor do I take for granted the fact that there are Jews who work hard and who are tired and yet come to learn some Torah a little bit, to get some chizik and to give me chizik these last few minutes before Mashiach comes. Let me begin with a story. I'll begin with a story. It's in Luzman. It only takes a second also. You all heard of the tzaddik, the Klausenberger Rav. Klausenberger was Meshichma Vamala, was an extraordinary person. He was a heroic person. Besides being a genius, a tzaddik, descendant of the Sanzer Rav, he was a heroic person, and what he did during the war, and mostly after the war, will be written in the Divrei Hayomim, in the Chronicles of the Jewish people, forever and ever. So it once happened that it was Simchas Torah, and you know that on Yom Tov, the Nazis and Machshamam, they knew, the Nazis were very familiar with the Jewish calendar, and they davka would make the lives of the Jewish people particularly miserable, more miserable if that was possible than usual, any time when it came to Yom Tov. So there's one of my friends told him that he heard from his father-in-law, who heard this from a person who was either there or knew of it firsthand somehow, that it once happened on a Simchas Torah that the Klausenberger, for whatever reason, without going into the details now, was thoroughly beaten. But to such a point, first of all, they knew that he was a famous rabbi, and they picked on such individuals, and it was Yontif. So the Klausenberger was beaten to such a point that he was left for dead. The Germans didn't even bother with him; they just left him on the floor, and they thought he was dead. And the Jews were there crying, and they picked up the Rebbe and they took him back to the lager, to the miserable barracks, whatever that was. And they noticed that there was only one part of him that was moving, and that he was alive. They were thrilled that he was alive. They thought he was dead, and they saw that his toes were moving a little bit, but otherwise he was completely lifeless. But it was a nace, and over the course of the day and through the night, the Jews stayed with him, and finally he got back over weeks. He got back to some degree of health, whatever was possible in that place at that time. And when they spoke to the Rebbe, and they said, Rebbe, you know, we thought that you were mamish dead. That day, Simchas Torah, when after the Germans beat you up, we thought that you were mamish dead. So the Rebbe said, didn't you see my toes moving? And he was he wasn't conscious. Didn't you see my toes moving? So the Jews said, yes, we saw the toes moving, but that was all. And how did the Rebbe know that? So he said, what do you mean, how did I know that? Those were hakafis. Those were my hakafis. I was very taken by the story. I was very taken by it. And I was thinking, you know, when you hear Ma'aseh from a tzaddik, so you have to ask, nu uvachein, and what does it mean? So it means to me that at a time when it seems that God forbid, we've been so beaten and so bruised and so down, and the news that we hear is filled with despair, and the whole world, there's a certain avirah, there's a certain air of yeyush, of despair and fear. In these last few moments, as I said, before Mashiach comes, we have to wiggle our toes a little bit. Wiggling the toes, you know, it used to be when a person is in a time and a place of complete and full health, and when Yerushalayim with Mashiach, so we'll dance from the toes all the way up to the tippy top of our heads, will be filled with life. In these last few minutes, when we see that it's getting very, very dark, so we have to know and we have to believe that when we make that effort to try to find the truth, to try to sort our lives out, our hakafas, even though it looks like it's so silly, it's so tiny, what are we doing, sof kol sof, in this world? It's hardly a tiny little movement, a tiny little wiggling of the toes. But could you imagine when the Klausenberg was doing those hakafas? Those were greater, more powerful hakafas than all the fancy ones that they make on the streets and bring everybody together with all the synagogues and have big kiddushes with stuffed cabbage and kugel. Just the Rebbe lying there, wiggling his toes. Only Hashem knows what a Jew goes through in this world and the efforts that a Jew makes to make his hakafas, to make her hakafas, to bring nachas, to bring joy and pleasure to the one who created us. I have a special, I mentioned at the end, before the summer, at the end of the classes last month, I mentioned that my intention was this year, this coming year, which is now, my intention was to speak every single week about Shabbos. I was basically instructed to do so by a great tzaddik, and I would not disobey those instructions. And the feeling that he had, and when he told me this, was, and he called me to see him, and I was an HSL for this purpose, that the Yisai, the essence of all of Yiddishkeit, is Shabbos. And that the feeling was that most Jews, they read about it, they learn about it, they live it 1/7 of their lives, but they don't understand how precious Shabbos is and what Shabbos can do for us and how Shabbos can change us. So I'm going to Bez Hashem. The truth is that we could talk about it for many, many years. And it's not easy to limit to a year, but we'll see how it's going. And if you're not sick of it or tired of it, we'll continue to Shem and Yerushalayim. We'll continue in good places to talk about Shabbos, everything Shabbos. And of course, from time to time, I'll bring something from the parasha into the story of Shabbos for that week. However, the focus is going to be Shabbos, and the secondary point might be just to touch upon something from the parasha as it applies to Shabbos. It's not going to be in the parasha. There are many hundreds of tapes for those who would like to hear more things on the specific inyanim of the parasha. And the shul has upgraded all of that, and they have over the summer they really fixed it up completely, beautifully. But we're going to be talking about Shabbos. And I do that with chilu rechimu, with awe and with love, because of what Shabbos is and what Shabbos can be for us. So let's begin. Let's talk about Shabbos. Everybody likes presents, even though everybody says, no, really, you shouldn't have, it's terrible. But if the person would say, okay, then we say, whoa. You know, so we really like presents. It's wonderful. When someone gives you a present, they remember you, they love you. Everybody likes presents. Even a small thing, it means that you are remembered. So the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud tells us a brisa that the Baruch Shalom, everybody knows this brisa, it's just we're going to spend the entire year trying to understand it. The brisa says, Ladas ki Hashem mekadishchem. By Shabbos it says that you shall know that I am Hashem who sanctified you. Ladas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Om leikadosh baruch hu l'moshe. Hashem is Baruch said to Moshe, in other words, Shabbos requires da'as, awareness. La da'as ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. You shall be aware, you shall understand that I am Hashem, who with Shabbos makes you into a holy people. So, Omer le'Kadosh Baruch Hu le'Moshe, Matana Tov Yeshli Beis Gnos, I have a precious gift, Hashem says to Moshe, I have a precious, precious gift in my divine treasury, in my place of treasures. The Shabbos Shema, and its name is Shabbos. Vani Mavakish Litna Li Yisrael. And I want to give this gift to Yisrael, to the Jewish people. Lech Vahedion. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. Ladaz. To understand the nature of the gift that they're being given. This is absolutely astounding. Because we don't see this with other mitzvahs. We don't find that any of the other mitzvahs in the Torah are called matanas, gifts. Matana taiva, that I have a precious gift. We understand, we believe that the mitzvahs are all precious and special, whatever the mitzvah is. But dafku, when it comes to Shabbos, Hashem refers to Shabbos as a matana taiva, as a precious, as a special gift. And Hashem gave it to us in such a way, b'teres matana. The other mitzvahs were not given, they were given purely as commandments. Shabbos was given b'teres matana, as a present to the Jewish people. So that each and every one of us should be zoicha to acquire this present, to enjoy, to open up the wrapping, and to take advantage, to make use of Shabbos. So we have to understand, what does this mean? It's going to take us a few weeks to just begin. To begin to take off a little bit the wrapping. Let's learn something in halacha. Let's learn halacha. So Mishnah above Metzi and Dav Chof Hei. Motza begala b'kais liyoshan ha'elu shalo. There's a din, there's a halacha, listen carefully. There's a halacha that states that if a person is someplace on a person's property, another person's property, and in that person's property there is an old ruins of a building, or there is an old wall of some sort, and the person, the visitor, finds in that ruins, in that heap, he finds a lost object. He finds something. He finds a mitziyah. So the din is, the Mishnah says, Hare Elu Shalai. In the vernacular would say, finders keepers, losers weepers. Which means the person who finds this lost object owns it. So this is a startling revelation that the Mishnah makes. Because remember that this pile of stone, of ruins, whatever it is, this old wall, this is on somebody else's property. So the person who owns the property would instinctively scream out, what are you doing? This is my place. And halachically, it sounds like he'd be justified. Because there's a din in Torah that everybody who learned these sugyas, these gemaras knows, that chaserus shel adam kaina l'shalem yedaitai, which means that one's property acquires something for him even without his knowing of it. But his property can acquire something for him. If an animal wanders into his property from someplace, it's possible that his property can acquire something. He doesn't have to know about it. So here, the question is, why is it that this lost object belongs to the finder, when in fact it was found under the ruins of a building that was on the property of another Jew? So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. So we find that the Hagos HaShri, over there above Metzia, quotes the Raviyah. Listen carefully. The Lo Shayech Lameimah B'Kahai Gavna Chatzer Shalom Koin Lo Shalom Yidaitai. The Raviyah explains that in this situation we cannot say that his property acquires something on his behalf. We can't say that. Why? So the Raviyah explains, the kaven the eno dover ha'hevi kishar metziyah le'zachabai. This is not like a regular object that's found on a person's property. Why? So he says, the kishonau oz lehela liber liknei samatmain. When this person, let's call him Reuven, when Reuven bought this house or bought this property, and on this property there were the ruins of this ancient building, let's say. He never, ever dreamt, he never realized, it never would have entered his mind that there is already on the property, already there. There is what? A hidden treasure. He never, ever would have dreamt of it. Hilkach, he didn't think of it, and certainly the person who was selling the property never, ever dreamt, never realized, never would have thought of such a thing, that in the old building, in that big mess over there, in that pile or in that garage, someplace underneath, there is this treasure. Therefore, the din is Hilkach leizocher bedover shavatzal liknes v'chatzerei konoloi bedover habol chatzera acharkei. The Raviyah says, when can one's courtyard or one's property acquire something? When you buy a piece of property and something later on comes onto your property, your intention when you buy the property is that I want this property, and also anything that I don't know of, but will enter into this place later on. But the seller and the buyer never ever could have realized, never would have thought of the possibility that already sitting there was this amazing hidden treasure. Over here, the Ravio says, there was already this treasure beforehand, before the acquisition, before the sale. And the seller and the buyer, neither of them ever intended or ever thought of such a thing. Something might come up later on. Okay, if you're lucky, you know, maybe something will fall off a truck and fly into your backyard. That's great. But they certainly, as far as buying the existent and selling the existent property, that wasn't even a thought. And then he brings a case of a certain Jew who bought some materials from a non-Jewish carpenter for the roof, to make a roof. And the Jew realized that, you know, he doesn't really want to work on his roof right now, so he sold it to another Jew. And lo and behold, he sold this building stuff to another Jew. Lo and behold, the second Jew scrounges around inside this stuff and he finds that inside there was silver. This had silver lining somehow. There was silver in there. So the question is now, who owns the silver? So the first Jew who bought it from the non-Jew says, I want the money for that. That's very expensive. I want the money for that. The second Jew says, I bought this thing from you. I bought the materials and the tar, whatever it is. And sorry that you didn't notice it, but it's mine. What's the din? So the halach is that the Rabbi Yehuda brings down the Rabbi Lazmi mitzvah, the Yerayim, said that certainly it belongs to the second Jew, not to the first one. In other words, the fellow who bought it and had the good luck, the good fortune of finding the silver, it's his. And not only that, he explains, Shalayzach Bahi Yisrael Shekonim Ha'akum, the Jew who bought it from the Goy did not acquire it. Kevin Shalay Yodav Lanaskav and Liknes HaKesef. He never knew of it and he never intended to buy this. V'haydalai Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam agreed with this ruling that it belongs to the second Jew. Now why am I going through this this halacha? For the simple reason that I wanted to begin with this foundation that should be very clear. There are good things in the world, Baruch Hashem. There are many, many good things in the world. But, you know, some of the most precious things in the world, we're not really connected to them. We don't really own them. We're not really zeich. We haven't made a full, complete acquisition. This din of the Raviyah, of the Mishnah, is telling us the following. You could spend your entire life living under the same roof with a very, very precious treasure, your husband or wife. You could spend many years with the most beautiful children in the world. And if you don't understand the value, if you don't think, if you don't appreciate, if you don't have an awareness of who that person really is that's living under the same roof with you, that child biologically is yours, legally is yours, but existentially or in pneumius, have you really acquired the love of that person? Have you really acquired that person? Are you zeich in that person? From this Mishnah we learn that if you have something in your possession with a silver lining, but it's unbeknownst to you, you don't know of it, you don't realize it. It never ever entered your mind that that's who the person really is. So you might spend 30, 40, 50 years. You might be living with this person for thousands of years. And the person, on a deeper level, is mamish apart from you, was separate from you. There was never a kinyan. There was never an internal acquisition. You know how many husbands and wives go like that? They go like that until children are saying kaddish, till they're 120. How many husbands and wives? Bechlal. Until sometimes, you know, with a chaver, you see that when there's a difficulty, when there's a tragedy, and then you say, wow, I never realized that you cared for me that way. I never dreamt you were such a person. I never knew that. And until that day, you're not really zeich in the person. It's not really a kinyan. Hashem has many gifts for us that we haven't opened. So Shabbos, Hashem is Baruch says, listen, Kindlech, I have a gift. It's called Shabbos. Hashem calls it a matana toiva. a gift. And he says that it comes from a secret treasure place. Hashem has a treasure called Shabbos. And he gave it to us, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and explain to the Jews, tell them about the silver lining. Talk to them about the silver, about the treasure that's buried in that world of Shabbos. Go and tell them. And Moshe Rabbeinu did. And his students did. And his grandstudents did. And all of the tzaddikim to this very day, till this very day when this nobody, an idiot who's standing before you, whose name is also Moshe Lahavdil, also has a mitzvah to go and to talk to Jews about Shabbos, about that treasure that Hashem has given us. We understand that it's impossible. You can live Shabbos every single week and you think, wow, this is gevaldik because the cholent was just better than last week. And this was gevaldik because last week I slept for an hour and a half and this week was an hour and 45 minutes. And therefore the quality of my Shabbos is definitely improving. Or I was able to finish that novel, or I actually, you know, I got through the newspaper chalila on Shabbos. And therefore the quality of my Shabboses are improving. The rabbi didn't talk this Shabbos was a mazel. And that Bal Tefillah who I can't stand has laryngitis. You know, it was like the ideal Shabbos. What could you ask for? It was a perfect Shabbos. It's not a perfect Shabbos. So now, you know, I'm joking around, but not so much. Not so much. So what happens is that a person goes through Shabbos after Shabbos, and Bereishis, and Noach Lech Lecha Nachamol, Bereishis, Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos Parshas Noach. And I've mentioned many times that there was a Jew who met the Balatanya who was more of an emancipated, enlightened Jew. And he said, and he saw the way that the Balatanya looked, and the way that he dressed, and he says, Rebbe, you have to move forward with the times. And the Tanya said, I am. Last week was Bereishis and this week is Noach. I'm moving ahead with the times. Because he saw and he understood. Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos Noach, Shabbos Lech Lecha. But how many of us go through Shabbos after Shabbos and we never open the gift? Partially we don't understand. We don't even know what it is. A matana toiva, Hashem says. Not only that, you know that according to Halacha, the Gemara in Chagigas defines one of the definitions of a shaita. You know, we have to know in halacha there is a certain person who is defined as an idiot, an imbecile. According to halacha, it affects halacha in many ways. Chayu shayta v'katna shayta. So a shayta, in the Gemara Chagiga, so you understand that one of the definitions of a shayta is that he's ma'abed kol ma'ashenayistim lo, that he loses whatever you give him. The simon, the sign of a shayta, of a fool, is that you give him something and he doesn't have it. He doesn't know where, what's gone, what happened to it, I thought it's here. It's a simon of a shayta. So God forbid, we shouldn't be our whole lives chalila shaytim. That Hashem said, I'm giving you a present, it's called Shabbos. And it's precious, and it comes from His treasure, from a special place, from Beis Genozev Mamish. And we go our whole lives losing, or not even chalal, not having a shaychus to what the treasure really is. Therefore, it's important for us to know, and today is only a little bit of a hakdama, just an opening into Shabbos, and then we're going to go more and more and more. We're going to follow Erev Shabbos. We'll talk about Erev Shabbos for maybe 2 months. Just Erev Shabbos we have to talk, and Kabbalah Shabbos. We're going to go through slowly, slowly. A person has to know also that this gift is not just something that Hashem gave us thousands of years ago to our ancestors. Because, you know, a present is nice, but you know how it is. It's not just with children, it's with adults also. You're all excited when you get a present, but then over time, you know, you become somewhat bored, complacent, uninterested in the present. It's an old present. We have to understand that Shabbos is not the same Shabbos as last Shabbos. It's a different world. The Rebbe Mendel from Vitebsk, and I'm going to say something that only at the end, I hope, will be a little bit, just a little bit clear, just a drop. Because we have to work on a lot, but the Holy Tzaddik, the Rebbe Mendel of Vitebsk, was one of the earliest from the Talmidim. He was by Mizritch HaMagid, the Talmud Chavar from Mizritch HaMagid. Rebbe Mendel of Vitebsk is buried in Tveri. I was zeichet to be by his kever, Rebbe Mendel of Vitebsk, the Pri HaAretz. So the Tzaddikim say about Rebbe Mendel of Vitebsk that every single Shabbos was Mechudeshes Legamrei, that every single Shabbos of his life it was completely different in how he was and what he experienced from every other Shabbos. There were no two Shabboses that were identical in the life of that tzaddik. And I'm sure that many of you heard about the Berma'im Chaim. The Berma'im Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernovitz, he wrote a sefer on Shabbos called Sidur Shal Shabbos, a Merdek is sefer, Sidur Shal Shabbos. And even if you look in his Torahs in Berma'im Chaim and his other Sfarim, every single paragraph of Shabbos. And everybody knows, I'm sure you've heard, that they say about Reb Chaim Chernovitz that he was a foot taller or a head taller, not a foot, a head taller on Shabbos than the rest of the week. And it's brought down, there was a Jew before the Milchama whose grandfather was a very old, it was a very old man who actually, as a child, saw the Berma'im Chaim. And he was asked, is it true what they say, that the Berma'im Chaim on Shabbos was a head taller? Is it true? So the Jew said, I can't tell you whether he was a head taller, but this much I'll say, that the children in Chernivitz, in the community, we used to go and watch when Reb Chaim Chernovitz, so when the Rebbe, would go to the mikveh Friday afternoon. When he would go to the mikveh, we would watch him go. And this much I could tell you, that when the Rebbe, Reb Chaim Chernovitz, would come out from the mikveh and would walk back, it wasn't the same person who went in. An andere Mensch ganz. It was a different face, a different person, bechlal, a different person. So we hear such a thing, and we think, wow, it's bechlal not negate the people like us. You know, it's not. We think, oh, Hashem, you should be happy that I'm not Mechal Shabbos, you know. But such a madrega of Shabbos, every Shabbos, a different, it's not the same gift. It's not an old gift. There's such a madrega that every single Shabbos is Mamash HaMatona. And I'm hoping, I'm davening. And I put a lot of koichs into this when I was thinking about doing this, and I davened a lot over Yom Neroim, that over the course of learning together, we should be able to have a taste of this freshness of Shabbos, each Shabbos, to have a feeling of the matana that Hashem gave us. So what does this mean? How could people like us feel that? How could we even understand what that means? By Mendel Vitebsk, by Imam Chaim, by Tzaddikim, how do we understand? So there's a famous Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's in Parshas Bereishis, and it's one of the Yesodos of Kol HaTorah Kula. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard this and have learned it. Let's review it. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Pasuk, they'll be saying Kiddush. The Chaim HaKadosh reveals the following. It says that Hashem told us in the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, Ki Sheishes Yom Asa Hashem, that Hashem created a world, the Chaim HaKadosh says, that could only exist for 6 days. It only has enough, like, you know, Lahavdil on the cell phone when those little dots are disappearing. By Friday, candle lighting, that's it. There are no more dots. The world doesn't have any more. Ki Sheishes Yom Asa Hashem. Hashem created the world for reasons that are known to Him. Hashem created a world that has the energy that is infused with creativity and creative energy for 6 days. Ki sheishes yom osa Hashem. Leborak Hashem karech ba'olam zulas lama sheishes yomim latam hanaydilo, that Hashem created the world in such a way. Gam yadu liyadei emes. And the Chaim HaKadosh says, and it is known to those who understand the truth. Meaning this is obviously something which is more in Kabbalah. That what? He says, Nishakim Hashem Ubar Yemechad Yadu'lo, Hashem created a special day, Yadu'lo, that is known to Him in all of its depth. Uboi b'yayim choyzer Hashem umashpia nefesh lo'olam. And on this day, on Shabbos, Hashem infuses once again into the world a soul, a living soul. Now how that works out with Australia, South Africa, Israel, California, we'll talk about that, Mitzvah Hashem. We have time for that. Shabbos, different places, different times. That's not for now. Assume now we're going by Yerushalayim time, okay? Although that's not, we're going to see how that works out. It's very interesting in you, but it's not for now. But it's true that at the end of the 6 days, the world is atat going to return to absolute tohu vavohu, nothingness. Shir hamekayim ayit shishi yomim, v'chein al zahaderech, so Hashem does al zahaderech. Each and every week, this happens. The Chayzel Atayu Vavod Erchaim HaKadosh says that if not for this day Shabbos,
Hashem breathed a living soul into all of creation. If not for Shabbos, the world would return to absolute nothingness. And Hashem would have to create a new world. Kivo means that through the power of Shabbos, because of Shabbos, Shavas Mikol Malachtoi, the world is able to stand, the world is able to exist. Look there in the Aruch HaMikdash and see the entire thing. There's much more here than we could talk about right now. That means that the beginning of our understanding of this gift, the Aleph of unwrapping the matana, the gift of Shabbos, the Aleph, is that through Shabbos, through this gift, not only do we feel rested and wonderful, that we're able to manage another week, but the entire Bria, all of creation is mischadish, is renewed, but not in a figurative sense. Like I feel like a new person. It means mamish. The Rechaim HaKadosh says such a thing, and this is discussed at length in the Kabbalah Swarm. The Rechaim HaKadosh just gave us a peek into the teachings of the Tzaddikim. It wasn't his idea. This is the Metzias. Now to understand this, listen carefully. We'll just start now. There's a famous question of the Pnei Yeshua in Kiddushin that many of you have heard. You know that we have a tradition that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, correct? Shishim Riba Isis Latira. Yei Shishim Riba Isis Latira stands for Yisrael, right? Yei Shishim Riba Isis Latira, the 600,000 basic souls of the Jewish people, that all the other souls are all branches of those basic 600,000 soul types. And there are 600,000 letters in Chumash. Of course, the Pnei Yeshua's question, he's not the only one who asked it, is that if you count, that's not true. There are not 600,000, it's closer to 300,000. Right? Now, it's one thing, you'll have to be off with a gematria, one or two, you could hear a kailo of the Isis, you can do all kinds of stuff to make the gematria work out if you really want to make the chasna kala happy or something. There's a friend of mine that had this like 20 years ago, so this couple, they got married, so the boy, I don't want to say the names because even the first name they might remember, but the boy's name had a high gematria. His name was Aaron, and the girl's name was much lower gematria. So a friend of mine got up in Sherebach and said, he just said that, he says, you see that, therefore we learn from here that Aaron wins. That was the thing. I mean, it has a higher gematria. We were wondering, how's he going to make this work out, because it was like 400 off. So the whole point was, it's more, that's all, thank you. That's it. That was the whole Torah. I'm sure that I know that my friend over the years has learned that that's not even true either. Bechlal, it's not true either. Achalponim, 300,000 off is a lot. Okay, so it's the Pnei Yeshua's Akasha, it's a famous question. And there are probably 300,000 answers. There are many, many, many answers to this question. In the Emes LeYaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a brilliant, brilliant insight into this whole union. But this is the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. Nismach Moshe, the great-great-grandfather of the Satmar Rav Schussi again Elena, the Gidoy Liachsidis. Nismach Moshe in Parashas Kisisa, if you have a chance, take a look. He says there a very, very remarkable thing, which is based upon the teachings of the Shalach HaKadosh. The Yismach Moshe tells us, he brings from the Kadmonim, from the earlier ones, that the reason that the menorah in the Mishkan, the Samikdash, had 22 gevim, 22 receptacles, how they were shaped, the gevim, there were 22. So the Kadmonim, there's a Kabbalah from Chazal also, these 22 correspond to the 22 letters of the Aleph base. But that's not all. The shape of the Gevim is, of course, the Ktsarim Milamata, the narrow at the bottom, and they're wide, they get wider as you get higher, as they get to the top. They go from being narrow as you rise up, they become wider. So there's a Kabbalah, the Yismach Moshe brings from the Kadmainim, from the Rishainim, that the same way the 22 Gevim, you only saw a little thing here, and then as it was growing towards Shemayim, it was wider, it was getting broader, So too, the 22 Isis of the Aleph Beis, Yismach Moshe said, we have a Kabbalah, that the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and Torah Bechlal is called Kiflaim L'Sushia, which means there are two basic parts to the Torah, that which we see with our eyes, which is only a little piece, but the other half of Torah is unbelievable. There's Nisgalia, there's the revealed Torah, and there's the Iskasia, and there's the concealed Torah. The 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, the 22 Gevim, that are only a little piece of it is in this world. But as it draws closer to Shemaim, there's that they expand, and that higher half of Torah exists in that state, in the Olam HaElyon. And of course the Tzaddikim have access to that hidden part of Torah. Therefore it's called Kiflaim L'Sushi, a double strength. So Yismach Moshe says, therefore the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha is not a Kasha. If there are approximately 300,000 Isis that we see, Hashem is telling us the 300 letters of the Torah that we see, that's only the lower physical revealed half of Torah. The other 300,000, the Shishim Ribay, Smamish, we can't see. That's something that one has to really, really, really climb and climb and climb. And as you get closer, you begin to find out some of the things that are contained within the other 300,000, or the higher root of those 300,000, of the 300,000 Isis. But that's not all. So he brings them from the Shalach HaKadosh, that the Shalach HaKadosh had a certain mysterious sefer, a Megillas star. Listen to this carefully. And I'm not saying that I understand this. I'm just going to say it over and to try on our level to move forward. But I feel it's important to say. And you'll see why. The Shalach HaKadosh brought down that he had in the Megillas star in a sefer filled with secrets from the upper half, from the better half. He had secrets. And the Shalach HaKadosh says that every Yiddish in the Shama, there are 600,000, every Yiddish in the Shama, every Jewish soul, the Shalach says in the Sefer, is coming from one Shabbos. And he says that every Shabbos, every single Shabbos, there are Shishim Riba Isis, there are 600,000 souls. And there are 600,000 letters. We also, when we look at a Jew in this world, like I said before, you think you know that person, you think you understand that person. Look, for instance, by the World Trade Center. How many of those people, that if you or I would have met them on the street, the rescue workers, we would have crossed the street. We thought, oh no, this guy's a troublemaker. You know, he's got a tattoo. He speaks and he uses coarse words. And who would have known that 2 days later he was carrying one of us, schlepping and pulling and dying to save people. Human beings, what a secret a human being has in him. Whatever the secrets that a human being contains, we only see the lower half, we only see the Isgalia. There's 600,000, but really, really we only see the bottom. We only see half the 300,000. And the Shalach HaKadosh has a Kabbalah from the Megillas Torah that every single Neshama comes from Shabbos, and the Shabboses correspond. That's why, make a Cheshbon now, 6,000 years of creation, there's 6,000 years, right? So you know 6,000 and approximately 52 Shabboses. So it comes out to be the other 300,000, yeah? So that's itself a Pella, it's a wondrous thing. So every single Neshama comes from a Shabbos, and the Shabbos is the letters of creation. Since we learned from the Chaim HaKadosh that Hashem creates the world again with Shabbos. And everybody knows that Hashem created the world with the Oisis, with the letters of the Aleph Beis. I've mentioned many times that before the Baal Tanya was Nifter, before the Tanya left this world, the last thing that happened was that the Alter Rebbe, the Tanya, was there with his grandson, the Holy Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, Reb Mendel. And that Baal HaTanya was looking up to the ceiling, and the Tzemach Tzedek was looking, he didn't know what was going on. And the Tanya asked his grandson, he says, Mendel, what do you see? So he says, Zayde, the Kaira. The Kaira means the beam. The Kaira. The beam of the house. And the Tanya says, Mendel, all I see is the Kuf, Vav, Resh, and Hey. And the Tanya looked around, he said, I don't see anything, only the Isis. And when he looked at his grandson, he didn't see his grandson, he only saw Mem, Nun, Ches, Mem, the letters of his name. He only saw the letters, and then he died. Just the Isis. It's how the Baruch Shalom created the world where the ice is. And Shabbos is an ice. Shabbos is called a letter. And the Shalom says every Shabbos, every neshama, every letter is a Shabbos. And that's what it means when we say in davening. That's how he says the pshat. Well, pshat, it's not the pshat. That's the deeper meaning of what we say. V'shomru b'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, right? When we makabel Shabbos. V'shomru b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people should keep Shabbos, the pasuk in Chumash. Ois hi b'nei uveinechem. It's a sign. But ois hi, the Shalom says, means it's mamish, a letter, it's a soul, it's a Shabbos. Ois hi b'nei uveinechem, with which Hashem builds the universe. Each Shabbos. Ois hi b'nei uveinechem. It's the whole Torah, it's called Torah Kula. That's why, by the way, Chazal already said that the whole Indian of Shabbos, kol ma'aseh ha'kfulim, I don't have time, we're going to talk about this a few months from now, everything by Shabbos is double, shoma v'zocher, right? Shoma v'zocher, two candles, two chalas, v'chulei. Boi kala, right? We're going to talk about that much more. Kol ma'aseh, Chazal say everything with Shabbos is double, because we understand that the same Indian is of Shabbos, I only see a piece of it here, and the other piece is there. And the ois, the letter, part is here, the other part of the Torah is there. And the Yiddish and the Shema Jew, only a little bit I see here in the Alma Desgalia in the revealed world, but the higher part is the Alma Desgasia. So you know what this means? Yismach Moshe says, a person who's, God forbid, a mumalach al Shabbos, a Jew who knowingly and rebelliously desecrates Shabbos, I'm not talking about someone who doesn't know, but a Jew who knowingly and willingly and wantonly is a mumalach al Shabbos, he's a mumalach al Torah Kula. He has rejected the entire Torah. Because the Shalat taught us that Shabbos is the Oisius, is the letters, is the souls. Now what that means, we can talk about much, much more over the next coming months, of the coming months in Mitzvah Shem. But, for what we're talking about now, it means that every single Shabbos is in the Shem, is in Ois. When we say, V'yayim HaShvi, Shovas Vayinofash, right? Shovas ve'yinofash. So you know the Chazal say, Shovas ve'yinofash is what? Vay of the nefesh. That when we make Havdalah, Vay of the nefesh, ve'yinofash, is that the nefesh, the soul, leaves us. The extra spiritual dimension. Vay of the nefesh. Ve'yinofash. Vay of the nefesh. But according to what we're learning now, it's not just a mournful parting from a day that we love. Vay of the nefesh means on a deeper level that the nefesh, the soul of that Shabbos, never was before in creation and never will be again. It's unique for the 6,000 years of creation, that Shabbos, that ice. So you know there were tzaddikim like Reb Mendel Vitebsker and the Bemaim Chaim, who thought, probably, I'm just guessing, who thought every single week, maybe this is my ice. Remember that every Yiddish neshama, every neshama is an ice. And ice is a Shabbos. Ice hi b'nei uveinechem. So maybe this is my neshama. In other words, if a Jew would understand, if he would go into Shabbos with the realization that there's something extraordinary, there's something new, there's something different, and that what the very essence of the very existence of the universe depends upon this. This is the gift of Shabbos. And not only that, it could be that the reason that my neshama, since there's a Kabbalah, that it's going to be during your lifetime. In other words, who you and I are, that ice, has a certain Shabbos from where our neshama comes, and a certain letter in the Torah that corresponds to this. And you don't know when it's your Shabbos, when it's your ice, when it's your letter, when it's your time, when your neshama is able to achieve on that Shabbos, is able to reach from the strength and the energy of that Shabbos, the tachlis of what it is able to accomplish in this world. So all of this sounds like it's for Reb Mendel Vitebsker, and it sounds like it's for the Berman Chaim. But people like us, to feel the freshness, the excitement of a new Shabbos, of something that never was. So for people like us, so we think we're so far from this. But let me tell you something. It's not true. You know that Shabbos was given to us before Har Sinai. Not in all of its vast details, but we receive Shabbos where? Before Matan Torah, by Mora. Shabbos was given to us by Mora, before we came to Har Sinai. A short time before Kabbalah's Torah, we already were given Shabbos. So the tzaddikim explain, why is it that Hashem revealed to us the Inyan of Shabbos the Inyan of Shabbos before the Torah was given. Not only that, Chazal tell us that on some level we used to keep Shabbos for some time in Mitzrayim. We also had a Shabbos. For a while we had a Shabbos there. It says, Chazal, that they used to sit and they used to talk about the Ovis and the Imahos and stories that they heard and so on Shabbos. And afterwards, when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to bring the Yidden out, so then Shabbos was taken away from them and so on. This is part of what Chazal are teaching us. So we see that there's something unusual here, that Hashem gave us the gift of Shabbos. He gave us the gift of Shabbos before the other mitzvahs. It's interesting. Before Matan Torah, before Maimon HaSinai, Hashem gave us the gift of Shabbos. So the tzaddikim explain, why is that? They ask, why is that? Why did Hashem give us Shabbos before Matan Torah, before Maimon HaSinai? So the tzaddikim explain the following way. HaSinai is an unbelievable madrega. By HaSinai, we reached the level of Elohim Atem of Ne'elion Kulchem. We reached a level more exalted than the angels. By Maimon HaSinai, we were more exalted than the Malachim themselves. By HaSinai. So why did Hashem Yisbarach give us Shabbos before? Because it means that even a Jew who hasn't yet reached that level of HaSinai, Hashem gave him also that precious gift. Shabbos can pull you. Bechlal conceive of being a Jew of HaSinai. Shabbos was given to him also. Shabbos was given to him also. That's the Inyan of Parshas Noach. We'll talk about maybe in a second. The Inyan of the Mabul and Parshas Noach. That Shabbos is a... You see, the word, a word, Teva is also means a word, right? Teva is a word, a letter. The Teva of Noach, Noach is the Inyan of Shabbos. Noach Elayla, Noach Lesata, Noach means to rest. And Noach is deeply connected to Shabbos. And the whole world was falling apart. The whole world was falling apart. And Noach found a way to go through the flood, to go through all the tzaras of this world, and it's called Shabbos. And we'll talk more about that next week, I don't have time now. But it's called Shabbos. Noach is the Inyan of Menuchas Shabbos. The Teva of Noach is like when the whole world is falling apart, with bombs and with anthrax, Chalila, and the whole world is crumbling before our eyes, and our brothers and sisters can't drive on a road in our own land. So Shabbos is the Teva Snayach Mamish. Shabbos is that way of Betzel Knafecha Yechesayun, of Hashem taking us in and holding us in that private world of the Neshama. Shabbos is Shabbos even for a Jew who hasn't yet come to Har Sinai, is not holding by a Madrega of Har Sinai. So even such a Jew, the letter touches his neshama, it's connected to the very essence of his being. Hashem creates the world and each and every one of us again with each Shabbos. And therefore, that breath of life that Hashem breathes into the Jew is connected very deeply to the breath of Shabbos, to that breath of Shabbos, which is the breath of creation each and every week. That's why those who learn the Svarma Kedoshim know something, and we're going to talk about this a lot over the next few weeks, that generally speaking, there's a rule in all of Yiddishkeit. Generally speaking, in all of Yiddishkeit, the rule is Isarusa Bisarusa de Lasata Talia Milsa, which means, generally speaking, in order to experience anything, any spirituality, real, it's authentic, generally speaking, you have to begin by making an effort here. You have to start, you have to do something. You have to be Dairish, you have to want, you have to be Mavakish. When it comes to any of the mitzvahs in all of Eretz Hashem, it requires that man make that first step. However, when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is not like that. We're going to learn over the next few weeks. That's why it's called a gift. It means each and every Jew has this gift, even if he's unworthy. It's a matnas chinam mamish. It's a gift that touches the very ice, the essence of who he is. It's a gift. And it means even before he receives the Torah, even before he understands the Torah, even though he's unworthy, all Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu is, I have this gift. Lech v'haydiyam. Go and tell them. Which means, so you're wondering, if we all have this gift, and it's even for people who are not on this level of Maimon HaSinai, then how come it hasn't changed our lives until now? How come when I think of Shabbos, it just means to me more shopping and more this and more that, and it's not anything that I live for. It's not anything that I live for. Even on the simplest level, at least it used to be. I remember when I was much younger, many, many years ago, And I was next to Israel. So I would visit my cousins. My cousins were very, very, they're no longer alive, Nabuch. They're very, my father's cousins. They're very, very poor people. Big tzaddikim, especially she, whom I, Chana Rivka, is named after Zal Gazun Zayn. She was a tzaddikis. I never met such a person, this cousin of my father. And I loved them very, very much. And I was by myself in yeshiva, and I used to go there for Shabbos. They were so poor, I can't even describe the poverty. They had a makolet that was like this big, and I never saw anybody give money to him. They always, it was always writing. He had a bichel, he had a book from before 1948, he had the bichel. And I said to him, you know, Yisrael, what's going to be with the bichel? He says, you know, like, he shows me here this yid, you know, Moshe Yankov owes me money from 1953, but I saw his grandson. He said he's going to pay. You know, these are the cheshbonos. This is how he lived. So poor, but you know, and every time I went, my father always sent, of course, money, and we would go for Shabbos. But I tell you something. I'm still looking for those Shabboses that I had in Sanhedrin, not Sanhedrin Mechavis, Sanhedrin. You know that little. In the old Sanhedrin, I'm still waiting to find the Shabbos like that, like those Shabboses. When these impoverished people who are broken from poverty, when all of a sudden, when my cousin would put on her Shabbos and she had one Shabbos dress, but it was spotless, and all of a sudden she wasn't bent over anymore with the sakiyot, you know, and she was standing tall, and the men were saying the very Torah, and every one of those impoverished makolet owners and schleppers was suddenly transformed into a prince and a princess. Mamish. The Shabbos was so thick, was so beautiful. It was so far from that. And it's chaval that it's very hard to find such a Shabbos with the affluence of the Arab Shabboses that we have here, and how easy it comes to us, the Shabbos. It's very, very hard to taste the sweetness of Shabbos. But you know, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a precious gift that's called Shabbos, Matana Taiva. Go and tell the Yidden about it. That's what I want to do this year. That's what I feel is my shlichus that I was told by a tzaddik. Go and tell Jews about Shabbos. Hashem says, every other mitzvah you have to scream and beg and want. Shabbos you just have to appreciate. It's like what we began with that halacha. If you don't know that there's a silver lining to this thing that you have, if you don't know that there's a precious treasure that's on your property, you can go your whole life. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. The Indian of Shabbos, and that's what we're going to do this year, Mitzvah Shem, to work on, is Ladas, Ki Ani Hashem Mekadeshchem. Ru'u Ki Hashem Nosn Lechem Shabbos. All of Shabbos is what? Ru'u is seeing and understanding and knowing and appreciating. And if you do that, if you try to understand Shabbos, if you try to learn what is inside this gift, what's contained inside the wrapping, so then really, really it begins to do that. Even though Nabuch, we've done so many averes and we're so far from the rest of Mayim and HaSinai, Shabbos by Toshuv, Shabbos brings a Jew back. Shabbos is the Tevas Noach, it's the boat that pulls you through any flood in the world. As Mamish Shabbos, when the whole world is falling apart, a Jew that's Shem is Shabbos, but really that lives Shabbos and waits for Shabbos, that person is able to cross over. His mom is able to cross over. You know, let me just finish with the story also. The Rizhiner, if you saw from Rizhin, Tzadik Kodesh, there are a number of stories about Shabbos of the Rizhiner. You know, when he was a little boy, I'll just tell you maybe one or two. When he was a little boy, so he was playing, he was playing around, and it was getting close to Shabbos. Now, you know, growing up in the old neighborhood, so I caused my parents this Agmas Nefesh every single Friday. Where's Moshe? Where, you know, we didn't have cell phones then and beepers, so Mamish couldn't find you. She couldn't find you. So, you know, we used to go to Main Street and get a couple slices of pizza, and then we would go to play ball for a few hours, and then we had to have some ice cream afterwards. By the time I would come home, it was, you know, candle lighting less than 20 minutes. And every time my mother would stand there, she said, how could you do this? How could you do this? Don't you know Shabbos is this and this time? And where were you? And how come we didn't call? And what's the matter with you? It's Shabbos, don't you know? And did you see what your room looks like? And what's the matter with you? And I would say, Ma, when is Shabbos? My mother would say, Shabbos is 6 o'clock. And shul is 6 o'clock. Don't worry. And I did it. You know, I was a kid. I could run. I went to shower. I remember passing my father in the hall. He gave me that look. You know, my father's ready in his tie and his hat. You know, he's ready. We're ready to roll. And I come in there, and I just don't look at my father, you know. Make sure no eye contact. That's the key. I go to the shower, and I come out, and my father's already walking to shul, and I catch up with him, and, you know, go to the back of the shul with the guys, talk about the basketball game and the pizza. And it was Shabbos. So the visioner, when he was a little boy, he was playing. It was getting late. It was already past candlelight. It was crazy. He was still with his friends playing around. And he was a little boy. So his brother called him in and told him, "It's Mamish Shabbos. It's Mamish Shabbos." So the visioner, he was only at the time 4 years old. He looked up and he said, "No, it's not." And his brother said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Shabbos, the sky, the world is totally different. It's not Shabbos. It can't be." And even when he was older, when he was 6 or 7 years old and he was in Cheder, and the Rebbe was going over that famous Gemara, what happens if a Jew is in the desert, he's lost, and he doesn't know what day it is, right? So he has to count 6 days and make Shabbos. So the visioner said, "What do you mean he doesn't know when it's Shabbos? What do you mean, Rebbe?" So he says, he fainted, he was sick, he was in the desert. "What do you mean he doesn't?" The visioner said, "It can't be. What do you mean?" So the Rebbe says, "What do you mean? What do you mean it can't be?" So he says, you just have to look into the world, and you look up at the sky and you see that it's Shabbos. He was a little boy, he said, "It's Shabbos." When he was an older man, and Rabbi Isaacal from Hummel, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Middle Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek, was sent by the Tzemach Tzedek to go meet the Rishoner. And he said, "You better make sure you come back, though. I'm only lending you, but you better make sure you come back to me." And he said it was very hard, but he went back. But Rabbi Isaacal Hummel was a Goyin at Tzadik. So he described, he said that I was sitting in the Rishoner, we were talking, it was Friday afternoon, and I was getting nervous. The visioner doesn't have a watch, doesn't have anything. I know when I came in, like it's getting close to Shabbos, and the visioner is sitting there with a pipe, smoking his pipe. And I'm thinking, oh, what's going on over here? First we gotta get going in shul and Shabbos and everything. All of a sudden he said, the visioner leaned back in his chair, and he didn't look at any watch, and there was no clock, and his eyes started turning inside his head, and he took the pipe, and he put it out, and he threw it down. And he said, "Shabbos." And it was exactly that second. It was mamash that second. It was Shabbos. This was the life of the visioner. There is such a thing. It's something. And the Rabbi Isaacal said that, what could I tell you? He described, he said, that the Rebbe went, the visioner went lamala, v'anina shati lamata. The visioner Shabbos, he went someplace, and I'm still stuck. So we shouldn't feel bad. But we have to try to come to touch the edge of the way of the visioner. Let me just tell you. You know, there's a din. Shabbos, by Shabbat Baruchas, everybody knows you don't have to have Panim Chadashis, right? You don't have to have somebody who wasn't at the Chasana. So why is that? Because Shabbos itself is Panim Chadashis, right? Shabbos is Panim Chadashis. But Lubavitch Rebbe said, you know what that means on a deeper level? It means the same Jews have Panim Chadashis on Shabbos. It means that the same Jew who was at the Chasana, Shabbos is an andere mensch. That's just why. Here, that's it. Shabbos is Panim Chadashis. It means that every Yid on Shabbos is a Panim Chadashis. It's Chazal. I mean, how is Panim Shel Adam that a person, a Jew, is Mamish on Shabbos is Panim Chadashis? Panim Chadashis. Hashem Yisbarach should help us. It should be a good year, Bez Hashem, for each and every one of us. You know, we all believe that Hashem is good and He loves us and He's kind, but we want that the kindness should be in a way that we understand, yeah? It should be in a way that we can understand. That's what the Eish Kodesh, that Tzadik from Piazesna said, that the end of Chumash is La'ena Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that it should be before the eyes of the Jewish people. What? Bereishis Baro Lukim. In other words, the Piazesna said that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he believed that everything is good, everything is wonderful, but he wanted more than anything that it should be La'ena Kol Yisrael, that every Jew should be able to see, not to wait till he's 120, but Bereishis, in the very, very beginning, Mamish now. Now. That it's good. Not that we should have to wait. It should be good now. We should be zeichem mitzvah.